It's Saturday, March 21st, and welcome to Higher IQ. This week, a Netflix documentary convinced millions of people to throw out their Tupperware. But what if the scariest study behind it, the one that found plastic inside human brains, might be measuring the wrong thing entirely? If you've been on social media this week, you've probably seen clips from The Plastic Detox, a new Netflix documentary that dropped last Sunday. Six couples struggling with unexplained infertility go on a 90-day experiment to strip plastic from their lives. They swap out plastic food containers for glass, ditch scented products, stop microwaving in Tupperware, switch to toothpaste tablets in metal tins. By the end, some of their fertility markers improve. Four of the six couples eventually have a baby. It's a powerful watch, and the internet has responded accordingly. People are panic buying glass containers and Googling phthalate-free shampoo. How we got to a place where throwing out your Tupperware feels like a reasonable thing to do is more complicated, more contested, and frankly more interesting than the documentary itself. The starting point is a number. In 1973, the average man had a sperm concentration of about 99 million per milliliter. By 2011, that had dropped to 47 million. That's a 52% decline in under four decades. The data comes from a meta-analysis of 185 studies led by Shanna Swan, a reproductive epidemiologist at Mount Sinai, who is also the lead scientist in the Netflix documentary. Swan's work, published in 2017, was updated in 2022 with data from additional countries, and the trend held. Sperm counts are falling. The rate of decline may even be accelerating. Nobody seriously disputes that something is going on. The question is what? And the dominant theory, the one Swan champions, centers on endocrine-disrupting chemicals. Two groups in particular, phthalates, which make plastic soft and flexible. Think shower curtains, vinyl flooring, perfume, food packaging. And bisphenols, most famously BPA, which make plastic hard. Think water bottles, receipt paper, can linings. Both groups can mimic or interfere with hormones, especially estrogen and testosterone. In animal studies, phthalate exposure during pregnancy produces a cluster of effects researchers call the phthalate syndrome: lower testosterone, underdeveloped reproductive anatomy in male offspring. Swan's contribution was showing that the same pattern appears in humans. Pregnant women with higher phthalate levels were significantly more likely to have sons with those markers. And in a follow-up study, shorter reproductive tract measurements correlated directly with lower sperm counts. This is serious science published in serious journals. But we need to be careful about what it proves and what it doesn't, because the public conversation has jumped about three steps ahead of where the evidence actually is. Take the Netflix documentary itself. The study it's based on followed six couples over 12 weeks, no control group, tiny sample size. Four of the six couples later had children, which makes for great television, but tells us almost nothing about causation. Couples dealing with unexplained infertility conceive on their own all the time. The study's own authors acknowledged that as a group, there were no significant changes in semen quality. One woman's chemical levels actually went up during the experiment. The Food Packaging Forum, an independent research organization, cautioned that the small sample and absence of a control group mean the findings need careful interpretation. In March 2024, an Italian research team published a study in the New England Journal of Medicine that landed like a bomb. They analyzed arterial plaque removed from about 300 patients during surgery. In 58%, they found polyethylene embedded in the plaque. Over the next 3 years, patients with plastic in their arteries were 4.5 times more likely to have a heart attack, stroke, or die. Philip Landrigan, a public health expert at Boston College, called it strongly suggestive of a causal link. Media coverage treated it as the moment microplastics went from environmental nuisance to mortal threat. Then in February 2025, a team at the University of New Mexico published findings in Nature Medicine showing microplastics in human brain tissue. Not just present, but accumulating. Brains from people who died in 2024 had significantly higher concentrations than brains from 2016. The researchers estimated the average brain contained about 7 grams of plastic. That's roughly the weight of a spoon. The most common polymer found was polyethylene, the same plastic in grocery bags and food wrap. The study also found higher plastic concentrations in the brains of people with dementia, though the authors were careful not to claim causation. Both studies made global headlines. But in science, headlines and conclusions are different things. By late 2025, 9 measurement specialists published a formal response in Nature Medicine challenging the brain study's methodology. Their core argument, the contamination controls were insufficient and the results hadn't been properly validated. When you heat brain tissue for analysis using a technique called pyrolysis, fats can produce the same chemical signatures as polyethylene. Brain tissue is mostly fat. The analytical method used can't distinguish between the two without extremely careful controls. An analytical chemist at the Helmholtz Center in Germany, one of the letter's co-authors, was blunt in his assessment of the paper's quality and the reasons he believed it was wrong. Other researchers pointed out that the bodies were stored in polyethylene body bags and that the total sample was only about 50 brains from a single city, too small for global conclusions. The original authors pushed back, noting that older samples stored longer in plastic containers actually showed lower plastic concentrations, not higher, which cuts against the contamination theory. The debate is ongoing, but the critical point is that we're still in the early innings of understanding whether microplastics accumulate in organs, and if they do, whether that accumulation causes disease. Global plastic production has gone from 2 million tons in 1950 to over 450 million tons today. We eat it, drink it, breathe it. Microplastics have been found in human blood, lungs, livers, kidneys, placentas, testes, breast milk, and the first stool of newborn babies. A 2024 study found that a single liter of bottled water contained an average of 240,000 plastic particles. None of that is disputed. What's disputed is the so what. And while the science works through that question at the pace science should, the legal system is moving considerably faster. Between January 2024 and December 2025, at least 18 microplastics-related cases were filed in federal court and at least 5 more in state courts. For context, between 2018 and 2023, there was 1. The suits target bottled water companies, baby bottle manufacturers, sandwich bag makers, and baby wipe brands. The theories range from false advertising to product liability to nuisance. A class action against Fiji Water claimed the natural artesian water label was misleading because the water contained microplastics. A suit against Ziploc alleged the microwave safe label was deceptive because heating plastic releases particles. Multiple cases were filed by the same firms, with Clarkson Law appearing across several categories. So far, courts have been skeptical. A federal judge dismissed the Fiji Water case in 2025 because the plaintiffs hadn't actually tested the product for microplastics or shown the amounts were harmful. Another court tossed a baby bottle suit for similar reasons. But the pace of filing is accelerating, and some legal observers are already comparing the trajectory to the early stages of asbestos or PFAS litigation, where initial skepticism gave way to massive settlements once the science caught up. And that's the tension at the center of this entire story. The people sounding the alarm may turn out to be right. Swan's work on endocrine disruptors is built on decades of careful research. The sperm count data is robust. The presence of plastics in human tissue is confirmed by multiple independent labs. But some of the most dramatic claims, the ones driving the Netflix viewership and the lawsuits and the Tupperware panic, rest on studies with real methodological questions that haven't been resolved. The pattern is familiar. We saw it with tobacco, with lead paint, with PFAS. A harm is real, but the science takes decades to fully quantify it. In the gap between suspicion and certainty, industry argues the evidence is insufficient and delays regulation. And the litigation machine gets rolling on the scariest possible interpretation. Both things can be true at once, and both can be problems. Swan herself has been called a junk scientist by industry groups and a public health hero by advocacy organizations. Her 2017 meta-analysis projected, as a thought exercise, that if the sperm count trend continues at its current rate, the line hits zero around 2045. She doesn't literally predict human extinction. But the projection got the headlines she probably wanted, and the nuance got lost. So if this comes up in conversation, and it will, here's how to frame it. Plastic is everywhere, including inside us. Certain chemicals in plastic can disrupt hormones. Sperm counts are declining globally. But the specific mechanism linking microplastic accumulation in organs to disease outcomes hasn't been established. The best studies in the field have real limitations. The couples in the documentary are real. The concern is legitimate. The science is early. And somewhere between the documentary's hope and the lawsuit's certainty, the actual answer is still being measured, one brain sample at a time. Stay informed, stay curious.